This is the Last Minute Blues Podcast with Donnie Fandango, Jeff Burton, Alex Ferrario, and former Blues defenseman Jamie Rivers.
It is the Last Minute Blues Podcast, and we can even say the trade deadline edition. Donnie Fandango in studio with Alex Ferrario. Good sir, I think that, well, a couple things here. As a Blues fan, I'm not surprised. I guess I'm kind of disappointed, I guess, because maybe I was hoping that there was going to be some kind of, you know, out of left field, Doug Armstrong, you know, surprises us all and pulls a big move. That did not happen. So, obviously I'm a little disappointed, but not surprised. I think, and I hate saying this, man, and I don't know if I even really should say this, but I'm not super stoked to watch the next 5 weeks or whatever of Blues hockey.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are in that boat right now. I mean,
this team looks like they know they're toast and have for a few games now.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely not wrong there. Now, what I'm about to say, I know there's going to be a select group of people that yell at their radio station or at their phones because you're making excuses for them, Alex. I'm not. I just know the player side of it. We talk all the time, Donnie, like we have to remember these are human beings, not players. There's been a lot of dark clouds hanging over this team over the last 3 weeks. Like it or not, you call them pro athletes, they need to figure it out. The trade deadline has been hanging over this team for a long time. And think of the names that we've heard. Kyrou, Buchnevich, Colton Parayko, Jordan Binnington, like Kevin Hayes, Brandon Saad. Like everybody you could think of, their name has been in the conversation. That can impact players. Like I specifically remember having conversations with these guys back in 2018-19. The dark cloud was hanging over their head in November because the team was so bad in the trade deadline, and then they kind of brushed it all away. You figured it out, you did what you did. That can impact players, but to me, you've been doing this since post All-Star break. The dark clouds, even if they're hanging over you, like that's post All-Star break, man. You were in a playoff spot. You lost it. You've won three times in your last 10 games. And watching them perform in these last couple of games, it doesn't scream desperation. Maybe they look that way out of this trade deadline, and tomorrow against the Rangers, they come out firing because now they know what their team is. Could happen. But they haven't shown me desperation in the last 3 to 5 games when you have fallen significantly. You've done this to yourself.
Yeah.
It's not the Nashville Predators that did it. You've done this to yourself, and now you got to put yourself back in the conversation.
Well, it's just incredibly frustrating as a fan, and we've talked about it before, to have these games that are just must win, must win, must win. And I'm not in the locker room. I don't know, but it just the sense of urgency, or maybe it's a fear of failure, or whatever the case may be.
Yeah.
It really seems like it has been there. Now, this said, and I really think that getting to know Jamie has made this particular part more important for me. I don't give a crap how much somebody makes. If they have got a wife and kids that were comfortable in a city, they had friends, they had birthday parties, they had all of this stuff, and then all of a sudden, you have to tell these kids and your wife, hey, dad's gone.
Dad's
I got to go now.
And I don't know when I'll see you.
And I don't know when I'll see you again. And you're playing for the last couple of weeks thinking that this could be. I don't care how much money someone makes, they're still freaking human, and that absolutely is going to play into it, and I can't imagine that it doesn't for everybody.
Joey said it on the broadcast last night, and I mean, to me, it put it into perspective a little bit more, and I know this, but like hearing him say it, guys like Pavel Buchnevich, guys like Kasperi Kapanen, Marco Scandella, they weren't packing for a 9-day road trip. They were packing for however long until they get their stuff shipped to wherever they're at in St. Louis. And like, think about your entire team that is on a road trip, 9 days, you're enjoying it, you're going out there, and then the other guy's like, got to be by my phone just in case, or I've got to carry extra suitcases with me. And again, I know this is nothing to people that are listening right now because this is the love of sports. But that's the part that it's like, yeah, man, like that sucks. Imagine having to call. I can only put myself in their shoes because I have a 3-year-old and a 2-year-old at home right now.
Yeah.
I can only imagine having to call my pregnant wife right now and say, hey, I was just traded to the Toronto Maple Leafs. I'm going to Toronto now. I'm not sure when we'll meet up. We'll figure that out. I couldn't go on that road, you know? Man. Like, and imagine trying to play a hockey game at that time. So, again, I know this is all sounding like excuses to people listening right now. It is just the human side of it all where it's like, ah, man, that is a dark cloud. And if they play well tomorrow, it would not surprise me because now that dark cloud's gone.
Right. It's somewhere everybody can kind of take a breath.
Yeah.
You know? Whew, at least I'm going to be here at least through April. So, with no moves being made, Alex.
Yeah. Yeah, let's get into that because I know you said that you're disappointed. I know a lot of people are disappointed there.
I am, but again, man, like, I understand it. So from what I'm just going to go ahead and gather here is that the asking price for Booch was very, very high.
Yeah.
Probably nobody came close.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't do that. If you're not blown away by an offer, you're not just going to trade somebody to trade somebody. And I guess it's not like we're in a position where we're going to lose someone and not get anything for them. So I don't even really know what my disappointment is, Alex. I guess it's more truthfully based on how they have been playing lately, how they've looked lately,
right,
as opposed to this. But doesn't this kind of sort of, I don't want to say mean, but I mean, does it improve the chances that Booch gets moved this summer? Does it, how do you handicap that sort of thing at this point?
Yeah, so let's start with the disappointment side of it, because I kind of, like, in my gut, I feel that way. And maybe it's because we've built up the anticipation of a big trade happening, and I think that goes to show you where fans are at with this team right now. They all feel like a big trade is necessary for the Blues.
Yeah.
But, Donnie, I look around the National Hockey League and the trades that have taken place over the last 3 days. Not one trade that I look at and say, yeah, I would have traded Pavel Buchnevich for that.
Yeah.
I mean, all of these trades have been nothing. Understand this. There have been a total, and I want to, there have been a total of two first-round draft picks that were traded in this upcoming draft.
Wow.
Two of them. One is a conditional pick that becomes a second-round pick if Carolina doesn't get to the Stanley Cup. One pick was in the first round of this year's draft, and that was sent from Colorado to Philadelphia for Sean Walker. That's it.
Yeah.
You haven't seen a top prospect go in a trade. The guy that was just acquired by San Jose in the Vegas trade was their first-round pick in last year's draft, and it was 32nd overall. Scott Wheeler has it as their best prospect. Vegas has one of the worst prospect pools in the National Hockey League. The players that were traded in the Carolina trade to get Jake Guentzel, according to Scott Wheeler, were 6th, 7th, and 9th in their pipeline. And that's the 23rd best pipeline in the National Hockey League.
Right.
So I'm looking at that trade thinking, yeah, you know what, I really wanted to see them make a move. If they would have traded Buchnevich for place his name in any of these other trades that have taken place.
You're pissed.
I am pissed right now.
Yeah, yeah.
I am pissed off that's what you did because you're not making your team any better.
Mm-hmm.
I thought Carolina was a good match, but Carolina was going to have to put Martin Natchez and their best defenseman prospect and a first-round pick in that offer. They didn't do it.
Right.
San Jose, if I would have traded Buchnevich to Vegas, you would have been sending me one of your NHL defensemen now, a first-round pick, and your best prospect. And I still would have been pissed off about that.
Yeah.
So I get what they did. I understand what Doug Armstrong, and I can imagine when he spoke to the media today, it was no deals match what we wanted.
Mm-hmm.
You're better off keeping Booch on this roster than making a trade just to make a trade.
Yes.
But I do agree with you. You have to make significant changes in the offseason.
Buddy, something.
Something.
I mean, and this isn't, you know, and I think we even kind of spoke about this a couple of weeks ago. I don't think that it's just a Pavel Buchnevich trade. Buddy,
no,
I think there has got to be like one of those kind of like, one of those trades where we kind of step back and go, whoa. It's going to take me a few hours to really kind of wrap my head around what's going on. But there is a massive disconnect happening with this team.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's either, I feel like we're really in a real precarious situation.
Yeah.
And this retool that we're talking about is starting to feel much more like
a rebuild.
Like we're fooling ourselves,
yeah.
and a complete rebuild is needed.
Well, and JR had a great piece on The Athletic. He'll be with us on Tuesday. Of course, he's got a lot of trade deadline duties to take care of, but he put the piece out saying that if the Blues traded Pavel Buchnevich, this is the startings of a rebuild. Call it what it is.
Yes.
I disagree with that. I do feel like it's a retool, even if you would have traded Pavel Buchnevich. I don't think it's a rebuild until you trade Colton Parayko or Jordan Binnington. Okay. That's where I say this is a rebuild.
That makes sense.
Because those are big pieces to trade away. You could trade Pavel Buchnevich and get something back that puts you in the same spot, if not better spot. Like, put yourself, let's say the Blues are the Winnipeg Jets this next offseason, and a team calls and wants to trade their three young players that are great players for Pavel Buchnevich, Gabe Vilardi, Iafallo, and Kupari. You look at that, you're like, okay, well, I just got three NHL players for one NHL player that I'm not sure if we could keep here.
Right.
That's a pretty good deal.
Mm-hmm.
So you can move them still and make your team better. It comes down to, is another team willing to meet what you're asking? And that just didn't happen at the trade deadline. And frankly, it's rare for those to happen at the deadline. Offseason is where it takes place. And what I always tell people is, like, post-trade deadline, there are going to be 16 teams that miss the playoffs, and there are going to be about 6 to 8 teams that miss it by a couple of points or get bounced in the first round. Man, that's 24 teams, Donnie, that are 23 teams taking the Blues out of it that are going to be like, man, what did we do and why did we miss the playoffs? How do we get there?
Right.
That get desperate. But I'm with you. I watched that game last night and I looked at that and I said, this is not a team that is competing anytime soon. You've got guys that are on three different pages. You can't sustain any offensive zone time. And Kerb said it on BK and Ferrario today. This team needs heart. They need some fight. They don't have guys that could do that. So I look at this team and I say, you've got Thomas, you've got Neighbors, you've got Parayko, you've got Binnington. It's great you've got Snuggerud and Dvorsky and Stenberg and Lindstein coming up. But man, between those guys and the pieces that I just mentioned that are in place, I've got a lot of other pieces that I've got to figure out. I truly think you're going to have to make a big time overhaul of this roster by next preseason.
Where do you even start?
You got to start on your top line. If you trade Pavel Buchnevich to a team right now, I don't think he's on their top line. I think he's on their second or third line.
Mm-hmm.
If you trade Jordan Kyrou right now, I think he's on their second or third line. You don't have a top line. Last night, your top line played 22, 23 minutes, and they generated 5 shots on goal. And, like, you could sit there and say, well, they're going up against the other team's best lines. They were doing that
They have been doing that all year.
Doing it for a month.
Yeah.
And they were producing point after point after point while shutting down the other team.
Yeah.
They're not doing it. And maybe they start doing it at the end, but to me, that's way too inconsistent. If one of those guys is on your second line, great. But you don't have a top line right now. I also think you have to find a way to fix your defense. I think right now you've got Colton Parayko. I think Nick Leddy's played great this season, but Nick Leddy to me is a second pair defenseman. You've got to find a way to get out of a big contract and bring in a top defenseman. You're going to have to start there. Your middle six, I know everybody points to the middle six. I got a lot of crap last night on postgame because I keep blaming the top line. And I get it. Like, your middle six needs to be better. But look at your middle six, Donnie. I think Shen and Neighbors are fine. Kevin Hayes is exactly who Kevin Hayes is. We talked about this on a couple of podcasts ago. Brandon Saad's going to be another 20-goal scorer for you. So three guys in your middle six, I'm okay. Zach Bolduc is growing. Jimmy Snuggerud is probably in your middle six next season. Now I'm at 5 guys in my middle six. And throw in whoever you want at that point. Like, your middle six is the complementary pieces. If I look at the best teams, I go to their top line and say, are you difference makers? And I'm not sure they are right now.
I think you're right. And I think one of the things that bothers me so much is it's kind of trying to pinpoint where this sort of lack of compete is coming from. And I mean, honestly, man, if it's Kyrou, whomever it is, let's work out something. Let's change this thing up, because as we've talked about a lot of times, I can handle when the team works their ass off and loses, but this last week or so, it's looked like a team that's kind of shell-shocked, trade deadline coming, and they kind of know in the back of their head that they're out of it,
right,
and that they're cooked.
Yeah. And maybe you do what you did last year, where you got post-trade deadline, you traded all those players away, and everyone's putting that extra effort in because now you're done with it. You focus on being a winning team. But to me, can you buy into that?
No.
Because we bought into it this past year and thought, like, oh, man, you got Kapanen and Verana and Sammy Blay. And one guy that we relied on is in the minor leagues. The other guy hasn't played in almost 2 weeks. And the other guy has gone from third to fourth line to being benched in the middle of a game. So I could see guys go off down the stretch and be like, yeah, but I don't know if I can trust that right now.
Yeah, it's unbelievable the Jekyll and Hyde
thing that you get from this team, man. Like, they could go out tomorrow night. I would not be surprised if they went into New York and whooped the Rangers, whooped them.
Agreed.
And just absolutely worked them from start to finish. But then the next game, Monday or Tuesday in Boston, then they won't show up until midway through the second period.
Yep.
And it's just the inconsistencies are so unbelievably maddening that, to me, you can't go into next year going, well, we hope X, or we hope Y.
That's where I am at. Like, you cannot, like, when you start talking rebuild, is if you go into next season and say, well, we can't be as bad as we have been, so we got to find, we believe they'll be better. You just did that, and it didn't work.
Right.
Your defense has gotten slightly better. Your goaltending has been awesome. But the offense, your 5-on-5 offense has not been good all season long. And these guys were the same guys that you were relying on last year. And going back to that Hart comment, the reason I say that is the last three games, Donnie, you've entered the third period of a team fighting for a playoff spot. The destiny is in your hands. You've entered the third period down by a goal or tied in each of your last three games. And you've put a total of 21 shots on goal in those three periods. Think about that. You're down or tied, and you're being outshot by your opponent in the third period. You're averaging about 7 shots a period in the third when you're fighting to get back in. The Islanders were a desperate team. They outplayed you. The Devils were a desperate team. They outplayed you. And the Flyers are a desperate team, and they outplayed you. Now, you got the overtime win in that one, but your goaltending kept you in that.
Your goaltending is why you won the damn game again.
To me, if I'm putting my GM hat on, and look, Doug is a lot smarter than us right now, but if I'm putting my GM hat on, I need to figure out who wants to be on this team next year and who's willing to go fight for a Stanley or for a playoff spot next year. Because if you're not, as Jordan Binnington said when Craig Berube was fired, if you're not here to win, then just get the heck out of here.
Then go.
Yeah.
Then just go. And I think that, you know, I think over the course of the last couple of weeks, I've become pretty, I don't think that Drew Bannister is going to come back. I think that this offseason is going to be...
It's massive.
I mean, this is one of the most important, if not the most important, in Doug Armstrong's tenure.
Absolutely. I totally agree with you, and I don't know what's going to take place. So Doug, who spoke with the media earlier today after the trade deadline, he said that he believed that the Blues were buyers or going to be buyers at the All-Star break. And I can't blame him, because you had reeled off 7 wins and 8. You were beating some good teams, and you were thinking, go buy forwards. I said it and said, like, dude, invest in this team. At least go try and win, because you got a goaltender who can get you there. But then the bottom fell out. That's what Doug said. The bottom fell out of this team post All-Star break. You beat Buffalo, you beat Montreal, and then you went on a stretch where you won 4 games in 12. Like, this is a massive offseason. It's going to start with, can you make a move to bring in a player in the top? Can you get rid of a contract that is handcuffing you? But I also believe it's going to start with the coach. Because you're bringing in Bolduc and Snuggerud and Dvorsky, these guys, you're going to have, the next step with the Thomases and the Kyrus if he's here. You've got the players in place of Parayko's and Binnington's. You got to get a coach who's going to... Bannister hasn't been able to fix the same problems that were there at the beginning of the season for the second half.
Okay, and so that's, to me, why you would move him, all right? But you mention all of these younger players, some of which have played for him before. Is that a reason that maybe he keeps the gig next year?
I think it could be, but to me,
and I don't mean to interrupt you.
No, you're fine.
But it's if he would have been able to make that impact now, obviously he's in. And if he hasn't been able to, he's probably not going to. So you've got to try to find somebody that can.
Here's the thing. To me, the whole reason Drew Bannister was brought in for Craig Berube was because they couldn't have the same things happening under the Blues with Berube that they had been. Doug Armstrong said, I can't keep coming to the rink every night wondering what's going to take place. He fixed it there for a month or two. But, I mean, if he said that the bottom fell out after the All-Star break, well, you lost it. In 2 months, you lost it. And again, this is nothing on Drew Bannister. I have been screaming from the mountaintops since December 13th that this is a roster problem, not a coach problem.
Yeah, I want to make sure I'm not.
Yeah.
I don't think that this is Bannister's deal at all.
I think everybody understands that. But the problem is, as the saying goes in hockey, you can't fire a team. So the other thing with Bannister is, you could keep him around to work with these younger players, but think of the younger players that are coming in. Like, Snuggerud doesn't have any previous history with Drew Bannister.
Dvorsky
doesn't. Like, we're talking Bolduc, who's got previous history, and Bolduc hasn't been playing a whole lot.
Right.
You hired Bannister. You brought Bannister in and fired Berube because you needed to see if he could get the best out of your best players. And I will give Bannister all of the credit in the world. He has stuck to his guns with that top line. He has not broken them up. And when he's tried to break them up, he's gone right back to it. Those are our best players. They need to be our best players. I would say he hasn't gotten the best out of those guys. So the problem is, and we talked about this on the last show, if you're telling me it's Bannister or the guys that are out there right now, I'm going to take Bannister every day of the week because I don't like any of the guys that are out there. But who else is out there at the end of the season? That's right. What I think Doug Armstrong's going to be weighing. And if nothing is better than what you have, because I think you could find a coach that could get the best out of the younger players potentially if they become available. But right now, I would say Bannister's your best option.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at Marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
And that's where we get back to, well, you got to fix the roster then.
Well, then, it absolutely... Boy, the longer that we do this podcast, I think the more that I get pissed off.
I think so, dude. Like, it's gotten to the point where I, like, on post games, I'm like, man, I'm trying not to be negative, but right. It's like, it just feels like the team isn't there. And Doug Armstrong said it too today. He said, it looks like our group doesn't have joy in doing their job. And if your president of hockey operations is saying that, there's a problem.
Yeah.
There is a problem that is not the head coach. I don't know how you fix it though, because you've got no trade clauses. You've got, If you feel like a player doesn't have joy, is that going to entice another team to come after that player? And Doug said it when they fired Berube, like, look, I'm not afraid to buy people out. Now, he hasn't done it, but if you buy somebody out, now you're on the hook for that money for the next 2 to 3 seasons like Minnesota was. And do you have somebody that offsets that? I want to say this is a retool, but man, it's starting to get very concerning where the team is at in terms of the trajectory. And I've had this argument already with people, Donnie. They're saying, what's the difference between a retool or a rebuild? You're bad. You need to get better. Fine. You want to wait 4 years for it, or you want to wait 10 years for it?
Well, and also, guys, a rebuild is a lot more long nights than a retool. A retool, you've got some nights where you're there, where you're close.
Yeah.
A rebuild, we're San Jose, we're Anaheim, we're dealing with all of that nonsense.
Nailed it.
All right, so a couple of things, Alex. One of the things that I've noticed, and again, please correct me if I'm wrong, but it looks like the Nashville Predators started the season, hey, maybe we'll sniff the playoffs, to, oh, hey, there's a playoff spot, and we're going to take it. And now, post-deadline, they're saying, you know what? We're going to get in the playoffs, and we're going to make some friggin' noise.
Yeah.
They made a couple of different moves to improve that team. Who do you think, not only Nashville, or do you think Nashville is one that improved their standing? Who do you think did really well at this deadline?
Yeah, so, I mean, real quick on Nashville. Like, I think Nashville this season is what the Blues thought they were going to be.
Mm-hmm.
Nashville's a team that their coach said, like, their GM said it's a rebuild. Don't know what's going to look like, but this is our team. And they went from being a team that was like, meh, good luck making the playoffs, to hot damn, they're making the playoffs. And I mean, they're making the playoffs. Right now, I would say the team that other teams are chasing in the West is the LA Kings. They're holding third place. Vegas is going to leapfrog them after the moves that they've made.
Yep.
Nashville, I think, is holding on to one of those wild card spots. And now is the LA Kings. Do they fall out of it? And can the Blues or Calgary or Minnesota or Seattle get into it? That's the conversation we're having right now. I think what Nashville did was they did the conservative buyer, where they're like, we're good. I don't know if we're going to win a playoff series. If we do, it's going to be because of the guys we've got right now. But you added some depth pieces, and that's what I think Nashville did good. They've already got their best players, Forsberg, O'Reilly. You've got Yossi. You've got a goaltender in Yusei Saros. If we win, it's going to be because of those guys. Let's just get in, and the experience is going to help. To me, the teams that I would be scared of right now will go west than east. West, the Winnipeg Jets. Acquiring Tyler Toffoli was an awesome move.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and for a second and a third round pick, dude's almost got 30 goals this season. And you got him for a second and a third round pick. And the Vegas Golden Knights. And I hate saying Vegas,
yeah,
but you can't deny what I hate what Vegas is doing, but I love what Vegas is doing because their owner says, I don't care about what we look like 3 years from now. I want as many Stanley Cups as possible.
So is what they are doing with the cap something that the NHL needs to address? Or is this just the Vegas Golden Knights? I mean, I don't even want to call them cheating because they're not cheating.
They're not cheating. It's the rules.
They're following the rules.
Yeah.
They're just taking advantage of it in a way that makes them good or better
That's
than
it.
Us.
You could try and fix it if you're the NHL, but how?
Yeah.
Like, how? What teams are doing is in the guidelines. Like, the guy's on LTIR, he's not available to us, and we'll bring him back in the playoffs when the salary cap doesn't matter. You can make a rule that teams have to be salary cap compliant in the playoffs, but then you're going to get a pushback from the PA, I would imagine, with that. You can try and penalize teams and take away, like, the player in the first round, but why? I mean,
right,
you made the playoffs without that guy. Shouldn't you deserve to get those players back? Like, look, I hate the rule as well. I hate the fact that I know what's going to happen. In game one, Mark Stone is going to be like, oh, wow, I got a miraculous recovery, and I'm here. But,
At the same time, if the Blues were doing it, I'd be like,
let's do it.
Yeah, yeah.
And Vegas has lost three in a row right now.
Yeah.
Like, dude, they're making magic work. They're trading away all of their draft picks, but they're trying to win. And if Mark Stone comes back, you also have to remember the player that is sitting out for that long has missed 3 months. Do you expect that guy to just ramp back up right away? I don't know.
Yeah.
So, I mean, look, you could try and fix it. I would imagine you try and penalize a team in the first round, or they have to be cap compliant, but I just don't know how you do that in the NHL. Right now, it's like, hey, if you want to trade away all of these assets to get good this season, by all means, there's a real chance that Vegas could miss the playoffs still.
Yeah, I mean, because they had fallen to that first wild card spot, I thought.
They've got 3 wins in their last 10. And Tomas Hertl is going to be back, but he's not going to be back right away.
Right.
You don't have Mark Stone. You got Noah Hanifin, but they don't have offense right now. So there's a chance they miss it. And this is the gamble that teams make. But it's just the frustrating part for fans is when you saw what Chicago, when they did it, won the cup. Tampa, when they did it,
yep,
won the cup. Colorado, when they did it, won the cup. And now you're going to have Vegas that could go back-to-back.
Speaking of the West, what do you think about what the Habs did?
I like it, but I still think Vegas and Winnipeg are better,
mm-hmm,
because I go to goaltending. I don't believe in Alexander Georgiev. Now, their best defense is offense right now. I mean, they've built it. They've built it four lines deep and three pairings deep of defense to where you don't even have to worry about your goaltender, and that's how they won it with Darcy Kuemper. Make a couple of saves for us. We'll take care of the rest.
Right, right.
I think if Connor Hellebuck can stay on his game, Winnipeg is better, and I think Vegas, when they get healthy, is better. I mean, Vegas right now, in terms of down the middle, Jack Eichel, Tomas Hertl, William Karlsson, and God, who was the third guy that they had brought up?
Even those three.
I mean,
Alex,
yeah, you're just talking those three. And now you're talking Barbashev and Mark Stone on the wings. Chandler Stephenson was the other one, and Nicholas Roy. Like, I mean, I'm talking five guys down the middle that, like, are dangerous, and you've got Barbashev on the wing, Jonathan Marchessault, who's a 30-goal scorer, Mark Stone, if he comes back. Vegas is better than Colorado. And defensively, I mean, Noah Hanifin is playing with Alex Pietrangelo, which means Shea Theodore is probably playing with Alec Martinez, and you've got McNabb, Haig, and Whitecloud. and Aiden Hill, who's when he's been healthy, he's been good.
All right, take us over to the East. What do you think about there?
I love what Florida did. Florida is going to be freaking awesome.
Oh, baby.
Tarasenko's the third-line winger. They traded for that Kyle Okposo, who I believe is a really good depth piece, and your goaltending. But watch out for Carolina, too.
Oh, man.
I mean, them. If anybody's going to get the best out of Evgeny Kuznetsov, it's Rod Brind'Amour.
Mm-hmm.
And I love the fact that you got – they lost in the playoffs last year, Donnie, in four games by one goal in each game. And two of them were in overtime. You just got Jake Guentzel and Evgeny Kuznetsov on that team that's already got Aho and Svechnikov. Like, you traded away Michael Bunting. Fine, you improved. And they got Frederik Andersen back. So I love what they did. I think Toronto is going to be really good now that they added some grit on the back end. Their problem is goaltending. I think the two teams that I would go out on a limb and say, like, watch out for in the East, Carolina and the Florida Panthers.
Right, man. Florida, when that Tarasenko thing happened, that was fantastic. It was weird, though, last night seeing him with a number 10.
Well, yeah, I know. So that's his World Juniors number. That was his number that he wore. And if I'm not mistaken, I don't know if he wore it in the KHL, but when he was in the World Juniors, that's the number he wore.
I'll be darned.
Yeah, so it's weird seeing a number 10, though, on the ice and, like, not – no, like, believing that that's not Vladimir Tarasenko.
Well, and also, too, with this, Kuznetsov is in a position where, I mean, he's got to make this work. I mean, this is a career time for him as far as, you know, he has not had a lot of points.
Yeah.
Just getting out of the player substance program. I mean, he's really motivated to make this work in Carolina.
Yeah, I mean... You've got to figure it out. Like, that's just where you're at right now. Like, you've got to figure it out. And if you're Evgeny Kuznetsov, you're talking about you were sent to the minors because nobody wanted you. And now you're on a team that's got playoff aspirations. You got to figure it out. I feel for players that have to go through that assistance program.
Yeah.
We just saw it with Jakub Vrana. That would have been my only hesitation in terms of, like, taking on that contract. We just saw it and it didn't work. But... you also have a coach that seems to be able to get the best out of anybody that comes through that locker room. I mean, yeah. Tony D'Angelo was awesome for them a couple of years ago, and this time around it didn't work out for him. So, yeah, I mean, you got to make it work. You're on a Stanley Cup contender right now when you're on a team that didn't look like they were going to make the playoffs. So figure it out. But, man, if he does figure it out, like when Washington won that Stanley Cup in 2018 – it was because of the play of guys like Evgeny Kuznetsov. So if you're Carolina, you got two playoff performers. Look at the numbers that Guentzel has produced. Look at the numbers that Kuznetsov has produced in the playoffs. That's what you needed. You needed goal scorers. And they've already got some incredible playmakers in the cat from the Chicago Blackhawks, which I'm totally blanking on, is Teemu Teravainen.
Yep.
And you've got Sebastian Aho. And so, you're adding those playmakers with Guentzel and Kuznetsov. And so, Kuznetsov is a centerman, too.
Right, right. So I see, you know, the New York Rangers didn't do a whole heck of a lot.
You know, they kind of did sneaky good moves. I thought they were going to go after Booch, but they didn't want to pay the price. They got that Wennberg from Seattle,
Yep. Who's
a good depth piece, and they acquired that Jack Roslovic, who I've loved. Jack Roslovic. He was the main guy, or not the main guy, but he was kind of a big piece in the Columbus Blue Jackets. If you remember back when the Winnipeg Jets were in the Cup,
yes,
he was that third line forward that was a pain in the ass to play against. I like that move for the Rangers. If you're the Rangers, you went all in last year and you saw what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Now you just need to get those depth pieces and say, okay, let's see what this can do. You know your top six is good. You got to have your best players play. You know you got one of the better goaltenders in Shesterkin. Your defense is good with Trouba and Keandre Miller. And you got Adam Fox. Like, now we just need pieces that are complementary pieces.
It feels like last year they went all in and threw it all up against the wall.
Yeah.
And they couldn't, and it seemed like it took them out of the rhythm that they had at that time.
That's what I'm worried about Vegas.
Yeah.
Vegas is that team right now where they just, like, said, screw it, let's go after it this year. And I don't know how that's going to work for you.
Because the idea is, and the reason that we say this, is because you're bringing in not a handful, but a couple of players. And so then you're changing up lines, you're changing up combos, you're changing up a lot of things. So any sort of groove that you might have been in beforehand might not be there. And it might be hard to get back, or
Yeah. You
might not get it back with the new guys. They
right.
might not have the same... you know, cohesion with everybody
That's
else.
The problem. I mean, you're bringing in a lot of guys. Like, when Tomas Hertl is healthy, now you're pushing another guy down. And really what that comes down to is, you got a good locker room. Do you got a locker room that will accept those roles like Steen did in 2019?
Yeah.
Do you have guys that will accept being third and fourth line players and do what's needed to win a Stanley Cup? Because if you don't, that causes problems. But, like, it hasn't worked in Vancouver with Elias Lindholm since he's been traded there. Like, there were talks of them trying to flip Elias Lindholm so they could get Jake Guentzel. That's not those are alarm bells going off where it's like, uh-oh, that's a little concerning right now. But do you have guys that accept the role when it comes to a playoff push? That's really what it comes down to. And when I look at the Rangers, I think you got role players that came over. I also love what Edmonton did. I'm still concerned about Edmonton's goaltending, but you got role players. Like, you got an Adam Henrique who's like, yeah, cool, I'll be a third-line centerman or a second-line winger for you.
Whatever the team needs.
Whatever the team needs. Or were you the New York Rangers last year that when you got Patrick Kane and you had somebody else getting moved to the second or third line, at the time it was Vladimir Tarasenko, and it's like, what? No, I'm your top-line winger. It really comes down to the players that invest in it all, but I also always go back to goaltending in the playoffs. If you've got the goaltender, you're going to win.
Jake Allen got moved to the Devils.
When the Devils also traded away Tyler Toffoli. Don't understand that. Like, you got Jake Allen, you needed goaltending. Like, you needed goaltending bad. But you also traded away a goal scorer for you?
And also, too, like we talked about on the last podcast, much love to Jake Allen. I love the Snake, okay? But he's not the guy that, he's not going to be your number one next year.
Yeah.
So you're going to be in the same position next year and looking for a freaking goalie, right?
Yeah, I would think so. He might be your number one, though. Like, the whole reason you acquired him is like, well, we don't trust any of these guys. And unless you're going to go to the market and sign somebody, and I don't think there's a lot of goaltenders that are going to be available on the market.
Right.
He might be your guy. And look, Marty Brodeur knows Jake Allen. Like, he was with him here in St. Louis, so he knows the type of player he is. And I think Jake Allen will be good for New Jersey, especially when, like, we're judging New Jersey. New Jersey's been without Dougie Hamilton all season. That's like being without Colton Parayko all season for the Blues.
And they've had a bunch of injuries.
Ton of injuries. Yeah. Jack Hughes was out for a while. So, and you're getting him at 50% of the salary. So he's only going to cost you $1.9 million next year. That's a hell of a deal if you're New Jersey. But I am still with you, like, I don't know if Jake Allen's the guy that wins you a Stanley Cup.
Right.
Jake Allen's a good piece to have with a guy who gets you a Stanley Cup. New Jersey's weird. Like, New Jersey's kind of like L.A. right now, where you thought they were going to be a cup contender. They weren't a cup contender. Do they still need massive changes to their roster? How are they going to accomplish it? They're going to be one of those teams that, if they miss, I don't see them selecting top 10 or top 12. They'll be trading that for something.
When you are watching the Blues tomorrow against the Rangers, what are you going to be looking for? I mean, is it different than what you look for every night?
No. I mean, I'm going to be looking for to see what they do in terms of coming out of the gate. Like, was that a dark cloud that was over you guys, or is this really who you are? I'll be watching Buchnevich and Kyrou specifically, because now that's gone, do you go back to being a top line? Really, I'm going to be watching that first and third period. Are you back to that desperation mode that you were prior to the trade deadline, or is what we saw in the last three games who you are? Because if that's who you are the rest of the way, then that goes back to what Doug Armstrong talked about. Like, I'm seeing a lot of guys that don't have joy in playing. If you still have that when you're 7-8 points out of a playoff spot with 19 games to go, cool, I know who you are. But if I see, it's not even going to be in the Rangers game. It's going to be what you do following a good game against the Rangers versus Boston versus LA. Because if you do well in one game, that's great. But you lay an egg two games from now,
right?
I'm back to the same spot. You're inconsistent, and if you're inconsistent, we need changes.
So today, as a sports fan in St. Louis, we found out that Tommy Edman and Lars Nootbaar will not start the season for the Cardinals. Most likely, Nootbaar.
You think it's tough to be a Blues fan?
Sonny Gray. We still don't know what's going on there. This Blues thing is really not great. Maybe this is why people get so jacked up about the Battle Hawks.
or City FC, right?
You know what I'm saying? I mean, like, it's an unsettling feeling, because you just don't
know. When was the last time we've gone through this where it's been two major teams that have been in this dark of an area? Like, you go back to when the Blues were coming out of the lockout and starting that rebuild that they did. Well, that was when the Cardinals were winning World Series. You go back to, the late 90s, early 2000s. I mean, I was 9 and 10 years old, but, like, the Blues were awesome.
Yeah.
President's Trophy, but the Cardinals weren't very good. Do you got to go back to the 80s? But, like, I think the Blues were good in the 80s. I don't know, because I wasn't alive at that time, but I think the Blues were good in the 80s and the Cardinals were good in the 80s. It's been a while since we've been through it, but you know what I love about it? I mean, I read some of these quotes to you earlier from Doug Armstrong talking about, like, look, our team doesn't look like it's a group that doesn't have joy right now. He said that Nashville game was when he really felt like the team fell apart. He talked about how roster changes are major roster changes could be in the summer, and Doug said, look, a reality check around the league and our locker room just happened today, meaning nobody was interested in our players. I love the transparency from Doug Armstrong and the honesty that he has. I can't say the same thing for John Mozeliak and the Cardinals.
Yeah.
I know for a fact that Doug's going to be upfront and honest with me about this Blues team. Whether you like it or not, he's going to be honest. I can't say the same thing about the Cardinals. But yeah, it's been a while for people to see both the Cardinals and Blues be in a spot where it's like, man, I don't trust where this team's going right now.
Yeah, and because for so long, even though I, you know, personally think Mozeliak looks a little snooty, but I, you know, he did the gig, and so I, you know,
yeah.
Trust. But and at this point, and even throughout this season, I've said, hey, listen, Doug Armstrong has not given us very many reasons to doubt him.
Absolutely.
But now I start to feel as though some of that doubt is very much justified.
Oh yeah.
And how he is going? I mean, we think of this guy as a great GM. If he can get the Blues out of this mess, I mean, it even solidifies even more what we know.
I mean, that's the hard part right now. Like, all of the frustration I know Blues fans are having, you're frustrated with the roster. But you always fall back to, yeah, we're frustrated with the roster. But as Doug Armstrong said it at the press conference, he said, I don't believe that if I was fired today, I left the team better than what it was when I took it. And that tells you the frustration that Doug Armstrong has. But it also tells you the spot that they're in. Like, you got to this spot with the no trade clauses, with the inability to trade players off of the roster that are underperforming. So he's gotten out of it. I mean, he traded Jory Lehterä and got Braden Schenn. He traded Vladimir Sobotka and Patrick Berglund and got Ryan O'Reilly. He's done this before. We're forgetting that, like, 3 years ago, he traded Sammy Blais for Pavel Buchnevich.
Yeah, you're right.
So he has done this.
Yeah.
Which is why I think so many people have faith. But I'm wondering if Doug Armstrong is starting to lose faith, because when you've gone back-to-back trade deadlines where you've traded all of your guys to get first-round picks, an offseason where people weren't interested in your players, and now a trade deadline where people weren't interested in your players, man, that's a tough thing to have when you've got a few contracts that got 3 more years of no trade clauses on it, and you're looking at it going, boy, what do we do here?
You know, I'll tell you, the slight bit of levity in which that I had today there were numerous people that tweeted at me when Clem Costin got traded.
Oh, Clem Shady. Poor Jeff.
And just being like, hey, Jeff's boy's on the move again. This guy's just not going to be able to find it, is he? I mean, he's going to be a KHL guy before we know
it,
right?
If only we had Jeff here to try and defend Clem Shady. defend him.
I think what would be awesome is I think that Jeff would just still not want to let go of the fact that this guy is big and fast and just doesn't do what the Blues need him to do, or seemingly anybody do.
Look, if Steve Yzerman's cutting ties with you, then yeah, I mean, I would say KHL is in the future for Clem Costin. It sucks because the dude's built like a hockey player. Problem is, he wants to play east-west hockey. Doesn't want to play north-south hockey, which, guess what? Part of the problem with the Blues right now. You're playing east-west when you need to be playing north-south.
Yeah.
Clem Costin, I mean, when you can't figure it out with that Detroit team, it's going to be tough. I mean, look, he's going to get playing time with San Jose. Our boy Jeff's going to be looking down and seeing Clem Shady getting 21 minutes a night.
He's going to get some minutes. That's good, man.
The problem
That's good.
Is he's getting 21 minutes and he's not doing anything with it.
Right.
At some point, Jeff's got to be like, you know what,
okay,
guys? I think we're calling it.
All right. But I can see him up there right now going, okay, guys.
Yeah.
I got it. I'm over the cost.
He's like, damn it, guys. I want you to watch this. It's going to happen. It's going to happen with the Sharks. Love you, Jeff.
Oh, miss you so much, buddy. All right, well, Alex, you got to get out of here because you got to go pick up your kiddos.
I got post-hockey life to figure out right now. And then we got games tomorrow with the Rangers and the Bruins on Monday, Donnie.
Oh, and Pat Maroon just got traded to Boston.
What's more uncomfortable, Pat Maroon walking into a locker room after he skated by 4 years ago and said, you guys are blanked, or him meeting Jack Edwards again for the first time?
Dude,
by the way, Pat Maroon is on cloud nine right now. You got another shot at a Stanley Cup.
Absolutely.
We're good.
Absolutely.
I don't care about Jack Edwards. I don't care about Brad Marchand. I'm good. Boston and Toronto are probably going to be a first-round matchup. Toronto's worst nightmare was just traded to the Boston Bruins.
I love every bit of that.
I do
and
too.
That actually kind of makes me want to root for the Bruins a little bit, and I'm not comfortable with
that. No. I mean, Jim Montgomery, Pat Maroon.
Okay.
Like, damn it, Boston, you're getting real close to me wanting to root for you, which I can't root for you, but I'm wanting to.
Yeah, I guess I can't get there because I just saw Brad Marchand's face.
You see it?
And I can't.
It's impossible.
I mean, I...
It's like when you see Eric Carlson's face, like, yeah, sorry, your team's got to suck.
I just do... I'd rather not watch hockey.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Man, imagine Boston versus Florida. Which one are you going to have to root for there?
Oh, no, I would root for Florida easy.
Matthew Tkachuk. Yeah.
And Tarasenko. And you know what also, too? What is the name of the coach of Florida? Is it Paul Maurice?
Yeah, Paul Maurice with Winnipeg Jets. I love Paul Maurice.
Man, I heard an interview with him the other day.
Yeah.
He was so god dang impressive.
He reminds me so much of Craig Berube, too. He's so intelligent, and he's so honest about it. I remember when he was with Winnipeg that cup season when the Blues played Winnipeg in the first round. Man, he spent an extra 20 minutes just answering a couple of my questions that I had off of the record, which I know I don't matter, but that's part of the reason why I love the guy so much.
Yeah.
Like, when you're willing to give somebody who at the time doesn't matter extra time, man, you got my respect. I love Paul Maurice.
I mean, the confidence and the knowledge in which that he exuded, I could go, wow, I bet you that you are a leader of men.
Absolutely.
It very much seems that way. And I know that I should probably be rooting against Tarasenko, but I don't know. I just like that Florida team. Even watching them last year,
yeah,
they are nasty,
Florida
man.
Florida plays with a pissed-off attitude that I think is always welcomed in hockey, which you're going to need.
Well, and you know what, man, though? And watching them, it pisses me off about the Blues that much more.
Oh, yeah, I don't know if people will ever be able to get the Matthew Tkachuk thing out of their head. I think that will always live rent-free until he potentially signs here as a free agent. That Matthew Tkachuk one will live rent-free. Couple of Doug Armstrong-era players are going to live rent-free in people's head. Alex Pietrangelo, Matthew Tkachuk.
Those two,
absolutely.
I don't need any
more.
Would
Ben Bishop live rent-free in your head? Probably not, because you won a Stanley Cup.
Nah, no, because you won.
So that one was gone after you won the Stanley Cup.
Yes.
Yeah, so I would say those two. Maybe David Perron. I think David Perron's going to live rent-free in a lot of people's heads moving forward, especially for how success he had with Detroit afterwards.
Well, and also, too, you just think of that guy being in this lineup with this team right now, man.
Yeah.
I know he could make a difference.
Oh, yeah.
I know he would make a difference.
You talk about playing with a pissed-off attitude. That Perron plays with it.
100%. All right, get out of here, Mr. Alex Ferrario.
I love this stuff, Donnie.
For our friend Jeremy Rutherford, who we'll have back next week, Jamie Rivers and Jeff Burton, we miss you so much, my man. It is the
Clint
last bit of Blues Podcast. My name is Donnie Fandango. Thanks as always for listening. Let's go Blues.
The Last Minute Blues Podcast. Hear more at 1057thepoint.com.